Okay, we're just about ready to get started. So, like we usually do, we take a moment just to ground, center ourselves. So, I invite you to close your eyes if you like. Take a couple of deep cleansing breaths. Get a sense of your connection with all these other beings. We're doing a similar kind of work this morning. Some in this room, some in their own rooms at home. Some may be even connected to other books, groups, but all with the same yearning in their heart for peace, for joy, for happiness. And as we take a moment with that, just imagine yourself breathing that energy into your being, letting it touch every cell and fiber of you, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And know that you will learn this morning exactly what you need to learn. Even if it happens to be on an unconscious level, it will still be there for you. So you take another deep breath, stretch a bit. Open your eyes when you're ready. Those of you who are following with the Book of Innocence, we're on page 65. And if you don't have a book, that's perfectly okay because we're going to read it out loud anyway. Does anybody have any leftover stuff from past classes, questions, or anything you'd like to share from what you might have experienced in the past week or so? Always like to make room for that if you have something you need to or want to say. And if not, we'll move along. So I'm on page 65, the Book of Innocence. Now you may speak the words, "Behold, I make all things new," and feel the affect of them. The residual affect is translation from one octave to another, or the realization of what was always so, but has been denied. The language is kind of harsh, suggesting that we have denied God or denied the divine. But every time you sort of push it away and say, "Well, that's not quite." That's not quite where I'm at. We are denying the divine within ourselves. And when we deny the divine within ourselves, we deny the divine in other people as well. There's just no way around that. We don't like that. We're not talking about an emotion or a feeling. We're talking about the truth of who you are. That never changes, by the way. Well, the only way it changes is it expands. The truth of who you are always remains true. But the way I look at it, and again, this is just my perception, that I believe our capacity for unconditional love continues to grow. That it's not static. And as it continues to grow, we add to the godness of things. God grows as well. God expands as well. It's not static principle. It's more than my mind can imagine. And yet it's still true. What is already true is that the one before you is of God, that the bone and the marrow in the bone are of God, that the sky and the sea and the earth are of God. The oscillation of vibration of the tone of the divine at varying levels of experience is God. So you may experience God in a flower growing up through the sidewalk. You may experience God when someone says, I love you. You might experience God through a memory, through a piece of music, through a book that you might have read, through a piece of poetry, or just sometimes a feeling or a sense of joyfulness, connectedness. Might last just for a split second. It's there. Jim.
Yeah, and this is just brief, and what just kind of came across my conscience as you were speaking is that not just speaking, but I look at God, look as a deity, as something anthropomorphic, like this person. And so what I'm doing in this journey is a realization that the infinite, this energy, however I want to go ahead and frame that, it's not a being, it's in everything and everyone. And that's it's a continual thing for me, because I hear say that's how I was probably socialized or given when I was younger. I think it was being a deity.
As I'm listening to you, Jim, I'm trying to formulate a way in, to explain that or to express that in words. God is the ever-evolving sense of creation and unconditional love. God is the ever-evolving of the essence of unconditional love and creation. So there's nothing static about it. It's continually moving, continually growing, continually stretching. And you are that. You are not you are that. And if I refuse to take that in, say, oh, it's too much, then I'm dying, I'm denying the essence of godness, the essence of reality. And we close our service at Unity where we say, wherever God is, I am divine. I am divine. And I'll be honest with you, I have a little bit of trouble with that one. I am light, I am truth, I am wonder, I am this, I am that. I don't have any problem with that. Comes, I am divine. Oops. So what I have to do then is just try not to figure it out with my thinking mind and just say, I'm open to that. I'm open to that as best I can be in this particular moment, this particular time, in this particular place. I am open to.
That's what we know.
Yeah. Yes,
And
Don.
then the other thing I knew was I'm asking myself. What is it that's keeping me?
What is what?
What is it that's keeping me?
Okay.
You know, personally. And I try to look inward to see where's the resistance coming from.
Okay.
It's a lot of it. Thought. Fears about connection to the divine flow of all prosperity, well-being, everything. Past 3 years, I've had to do a lot of prayer meditation around what is the resistance and what's keeping from. And then I identify those things that a lot of it has to do with, you know, your training is a little bit different from the fact that we are divine beings and connected to that. And fear, big fear, that in order for me to have those blessings, I have to work. It's not like they're there for me. I have to work to achieve them, to get them.
The work that I have to do is the work of surrender.
Yeah. It's a different, yeah, it's a different kind of work that we do. It's
not definitely.
What we think of as, you know, putting in hard work.
And I'm reminded when Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? And he said, seven times? Thought he was being really cool about that. And Jesus said, no, I tell you, 70 times seven, which is a mystical number, which means you keep doing it until you don't have to do it anymore. And the same is true here. How much is enough? How much is enough unconditional love? And when I ask myself that question, I realize that I have to, that I am continually stretching myself and opening my capacity for unconditional love again and again and again. And I keep doing that until I don't have to do it anymore. And the fact is that I will keep doing it because that's part of the essence of my being. This trip on Earth is such a minuscule part of the whole deal. This is sort of a grain of sand on the beach. We think it's the whole picture, but it's so much bigger than that that our mind can't even comprehend it. I think that's what they're getting at here. Excuse me. What is already true is that the one before you is of God, that the bone and the marrow in the bone are of God, that the sky and the sea and the earth are of God. The oscillation, excuse me. Now, when you move beyond the dense plane and you are no longer denying the divinity of self, the agreement is made to the divinity of all things. In other words, the only way I can really embrace the divinity in all things is by embracing it in me first. If I don't do that, then when I'm talking about embracing the divinity in everything else, that's a nice saying. It's a nice thing to pin up on my wall. That's not the truth yet. I found the reading in this next paragraph to be rather dense. So I'll have to, I might have to put it in my own words. And that, again, that's a reflection of my own understanding, not necessarily the truth with a capital T. Agreement is not consent. It is accord. Now, when I read that, I said, I don't know what the hell they're talking about. But this makes a little bit of sense when it goes a little bit further. When you get off the elevator at the fifth floor, you're in accord with all that expresses at the fifth floor. In other words, you are identified with it. You are aligned with it. You are aligned to it. You are there because you have aligned and agreed to it. In agreement means vibrational accord. The difference between, I know I've shared this with you before, the difference between someone saying, I love you, I care about you, and saying, oh, that's nice, that's a nice thought, that's a nice, thank you. Like giving you a little fortune cookie. But if you really take in the essence of that, not just the words, but the expression of those words, that I love you, you take in that as an experience. It's much different than something happening in my head, my mind, as opposed or as compared to something happening in my heart. So I think what they're talking about is heart knowing here rather than head knowing. The vibrational accord that is the upper room, the Christ consciousness that has always been available to humanity, but has been heretofore denied in spite of a great instruction that has come in varying times in history, in agreement to the known, reborn, if you wish, at this level of oscillation, claims all things made new by the presence of being. This happened with Buddha, happened with Jesus, happened with people after Jesus, that they claimed the truth, the power of being in the kingdom. I kind of picture myself sometimes still knocking at the door. Thinking that I'm not quite there yet. And see, that's the difference between a perception, which is always going to be limited, a perception as opposed to or compared to the truth. If somebody would say, I had a teacher friend of mine who got really exasperated with me one day and said, what do you want? And I said, I want to be enlightened. And she looked at me and smiled and said, what makes you think you're not? Oh, never looked at it that way before. What makes you think you're not? So what she did was she changed the whole paradigm around. It's not about words, not about thinking who you are. It's about accepting who you are. I am divine. Is that too much?
Jerry, Jerry.
Hey, John.
I had told myself I wouldn't talk about this today, but I'm going to do it anyway. This notion of this level of oscillation, the vibration. I watched a YouTube video yesterday. It took an hour and a half. I didn't think I would watch much of it. It was based on a book called Imagine Heaven, and the podcaster was interviewing the author. He, at the age of 24, he was at best agnostic. He was an engineer, and he really didn't care much about things that were spiritual. And then he began to run across people who had had near-death experiences. Over the years, he has interviewed over 1,500 people who have had near-death experiences. It changed his life. He is now a Christian minister. Some of the stories that he shared were absolutely incredible. People who were blind, and this more than one, people who were blind from birth, who had near-death experiences, left their body, were able to see everything around them and describe them later. And then when they went back into their body, they were still blind. So the idea of our spirit leaving the body, being separate from the body, but being who we really are. Apparently, when you have a near-death experience, you continue in your same persona. But he talked about the life review and the And often that life review is happens when someone is standing right beside you, helping you through that life review and helping you to understand that life review. And people talked about how terrible it felt, the things that they had done to certain people, and how awful that was. And this being next to them would tell them, this is a learning experience and it's okay. You are now forgiven. But the more important part of it was that these people came back talking about they were able to see that when they had been loving, when they had bestowed grace, let's say, upon someone else, how that expanded. And that person, inspired by the blessing that they had received, would bless someone else, who would bless someone else, who would bless someone else, who would bless someone else. And this energy of passing on love, passing on something that was positive, took on almost a life of its own and would just continue to grow and expand and expand. And this is the goodness that we have some ability to pass on in our lifetimes. I don't remember everything else. I did buy the book this morning. I do plan to read it, but I was so impressed. And so if you have any interest in YouTube, imagine having this whole idea of sitting through this hour and a half interview, which I just didn't think I would do. It was well worth it. And I think that it and it touches upon God the Father. It touches upon Jesus. Very, very interesting. Thanks.
Thanks, John. Well, it's just reminiscent of the whole idea that we only see a very small part of things. And that the tapestry is much bigger than we could possibly imagine. Thank you for that, John.
Very humbly.
Well, and if we continue to use the image of the tapestry, if you flip the tapestry over, all you see is a bunch of knots and pieces, unfinished pieces sticking out. And sometimes that's what we think life is all about until we flip it over and say, oh, that's what that meant. I think we do have glimpses of that every once in a while. But you got to be awake enough to be able to experience them.
Sure.
Yeah.
What came across me is Jesus, Buddha, saints, mystics. Jesus, in my mind, wasn't the same, but perhaps these other individuals that were here are just way shores for us to recognize and, you know, that he's not the one. There's many ones who have been here to show us who we truly are. And I've said this before, I think that, you know, Jesus isn't the great exception, but one of many examples for us, for me, to, you know, I mean, if I were born in this country, if I were born in India, if I were born in Far East, you know, this sort of container, Christianity would have been probably wouldn't have been my experience, but there would have been, in my mind, something to point me to higher than myself.
It will be revealed to you later. You might not know now, but it will be revealed.
For me, the key is being open to accepting the revelation. And sometimes what is revealed to me is hard for me to accept in terms of, well, if, you know, if I'm fine and all is well and, you know, perfect health, perfect this, perfect that, why am I sick? Why, you know, why am I broke? Those kind of things, and resistance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking at the physical reality instead of moving into the truth.
Mm-hmm.
What a divine existence is all about. Forget about all.
Oh, and it's so easy to get lost. And the intellect is always trying to figure out the meaning of things. But unfortunately, the intellect is limited in its scope anyway. Because what it finds, what it thinks something means, is just, it's just what it thinks something means.
God told them, their big sin was eating free of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of accepting that they were that tree of knowledge told them they were separate. For me, that's my
Jerry, I like what you had said before. Spirit having a human existence.
Mm-hmm.
You said something. We're a drop of the divine.
Okay, I need to move on a little bit here. And I'm going to need to leave a little bit early because I've got sanctuary duty. Close your eyes for a minute. We need to get out of our heads. You close your eyes for a minute, take a couple of breaths. And if you could measure your sense of vibration, whatever that means to you, in this moment of time, going from 0 to 10, what number would you be on? And what would it be like if you turned your vibration up a notch consciously so that it is a notch higher than it was a moment ago? What's the difference? How does it affect how you perceive yourself, how you perceive the world that you live in? And what would it be like if you could turn it up another notch? And what's the difference now? And just notice how you have a choice here. It might not be perfectly clear, but you have a choice. Maybe in a way you don't even quite completely understand. But you have a choice of being in a higher vibration than you were a moment ago. And what would it be like if you could remember that as you walk through your day? That occasionally you give yourself the opportunity to stop. And recognize I have a choice here of staying in the vibrational level that the world dictates to me at this moment in time, or to be in a higher vibration in the upper room, Christ consciousness, the consciousness of unconditional love. You can open your eyes when you're ready.
Jerry?
Yeah.
So I just had an image while we were doing that. I'm thinking again of this idea that if we pass on love to someone else, they pass it on to someone else, they pass it on to someone else. And I had this image of throwing a rock into a pond. And the ripples that come out because of that. If we throw a rock that is loaded with anger and hate and frustration and what have you, that's what radiates out. If we throw a rock that is loving and gentle and kind, that's what radiates out. Thought I would share that. Thank you.
You know, I'm reminded of so many people who have talked about knowing Margot, and the word or the essence of what many people have said is there was something about her presence that touched people, kind of like being in a dark room and walking out into the sunshine. Changes the whole vibrational level of things, changes the way we look at ourselves, changes the way we look at the world. There are probably people in our lives right now who we just simply enjoy being around. Who is it? Robert Frost said, "A friend is someone I can walk a mile with without saying a word. I'm not obligated to say anything or to do anything different, but being with this person somehow or another changes things." I've got a grandson, his name is Finn. Finn is a man of very few words, he doesn't talk a lot, quiet man. And yet we have sort of an unwritten pact that we just simply enjoy being in one another's company. No pressure. Don't have to tell stories, don't have to give out compliments, don't have to fill in small talk. We can just be. And that's a marvelous gift. Marvelous gift. The guides continue to say, when we teach through Paul, we monitor his body, what he can hold, and how long he may speak for. In other words, the physical body is excuse me, sort of the container of these vibrational levels. We have one thing we wish to contend with before we stop this lecture for the time being. The agreement to fear that you cherish, the agreement to fear that you hide in your back pocket, the agreement of fear, which we would suggest finally, is treasonous to the divine self. Some of you would seek to sneak fear into the upper room and contaminate your idea of it as well. You see this awful upper room, there can be nothing here for me. The words of fear claiming you in a climate that is informed by itself. When this occurs, you are not in the upper room. You're in an idea of it, because fear will not express at this level of intonation. We say contend, Paul, because we will not negotiate this. The choice must be made to support a new agreement, and that requirement of fear, the belief in fear as necessity, must be moved for the energy that has been fear and moved again or renown in a higher way. We say renown intentionally. We will say it again. Fear is of God, because everything is of God, but seeks to deny it. I read someplace that fear had a voice. It would say, hold on to me, and I will keep you safe. Doesn't work. Sounds pretty powerful, though. We will say it again. Fear is of God, but seeks to deny it. It is the aspect of self that would say, don't go there. You'll get lost. You will not be as you wish. You will be decided upon by others. If you are willing to release the agreement that fear is your ally, your protector, you may cross the threshold. If you are willing to release the agreement, you don't even have to get rid of the fear. You don't have to wipe it out either. It says very simply, if you are willing to release the agreement that fear is your ally and your protector, you may cross the threshold. What was that game we used to play as kids? Mother, may I? If you're willing to let go, if you're willing to release the agreement that fear is your ally, your protector, you may cross the threshold. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes again for a minute. We'll do a closing meditation around this. A couple of deep breaths. Slow down your mind. Slow down your heartbeat. Slow down your breathing. Allow yourself to be as calm and as peaceful as you can be. And just simply notice the spaciousness that is open for you in this moment. Where there is no comparison, there's no judgment. There's no holding on. Just simply letting go into the truth of who you are. Letting go into the truth of who you are. Breathe that into your being. Allow it to touch every cell and fiber of you. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And know that you take that with you today. With everyone and everything you touch, everyone and everything that touches you. Deep breath. Stretch a bit. And you can open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Jared.
See you again soon. Peace.
Leave the chairs, you don't have service.